This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Well, for people who want their health insurance to kick in January 1st and they've enrolled, or they are enrolling in Obamacare, that extension, that deadline's been extended through Monday. That said, the big question for those who get their health insurance, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, is what will happen to the ACA once President-elect Donald Trump takes office January 20th? According to the Miami Herald, 1.5 million Florida residents were covered by Obamacare through the first quarter of 2016, and 500,000 signed up during the first 4 weeks of open enrollment, which began in November. Now they're wondering what will happen to their health insurance. Well, joining us to talk more about the ACA in Florida is 90.7's health reporter Abe Abraya. Thanks for joining us, Abe.
Thanks for having me.
From WUCF, our partner station in Tampa, Daylena Miller joins us. Thank you so much, Daylena.
Thank you.
I'm also joined here in the studio at 90.7 by healthcare navigator Anne Packham. Thank you so much for coming in, Anne.
Thank you much for the invitation.
You can join the conversation as well. We're at 1-866-338-5252. That's 1-866-338-5252. What are your concerns about healthcare under the Affordable Care Act in the next 12 months and beyond? We're also on Twitter at WMFE Orlando. We do want to hear from you. Well, Abe, let me start with you. According to a recent study by the Kaiser Family Foundation, Floridians stand to lose about $5.2 billion in aid if the plug gets pulled on federal subsidies. Florida Democrats say that would be a disaster. Put this in context for us. How big a deal would it be for Florida if Obamacare was repealed in full?
Well, you know, Florida is one of the states that we have not expanded Medicaid. So we do have a much larger population of people who are going to be going into this individual market. And as you mentioned with those subsidies, that is a really big deal because without the subsidies, you know, everyone talks about the price increases that got a lot of press coverage in the last weeks of the election there, about 25% nationwide. For a lot of people, when they actually go to enroll, because of the subsidies are designed to go up with the price of the plan. So for most people, the price of the plan really hasn't gone up that much once you factor in the subsidies. If you take away that $5.2 billion, all of a sudden that plan becomes completely, you know, you're talking about from maybe $7,500 a month to $400, $500. You know, most people aren't going to be able to afford that. They're not going to be opt out. And then you get into what everyone likes to refer to as the death spiral. Mm-hmm. Then you start having fewer people sign up, and then everything kind of goes down from there. And I should mention, too, that $5.2 billion, that's about half of what the entire subsidy increase is nationwide. So that's how big a deal Florida is for this.
Let me ask, too, about what the word is from Republican lawmakers here in Florida about the prospect of the Affordable Care Act going away in toto. I mean, are they worried? Are they hearing things from their constituents saying this is going to be bad for us?
Yeah, I haven't heard from any of the lawmakers directly, but, you know, one of the things that I've been kind of keeping tabs on that's been, you know, interesting is there's been some nationwide, you know, when you start talking about if Obamacare is repealed, then you're going to have to try and replace. And there are seems to be more Democrats now who are, you know, people are thinking are going to be willing to work with Republicans to get a replacement in there because they're also going to be up for re-election, and they're also going to have some of those political realities to face, you know, come 2018.
Mm-hmm. Well, Daylena Miller, what are you hearing from people who are signed up or who are trying to sign up at this point for insurance under the Affordable Care Act?
I'm hearing from two different camps of people. I'm hearing from those that are extremely anxious that the insurance that they're signing up for now is not going to be there at some point in 2017. And the other camp feels like they're rushing to enroll. They're convinced that it's going to be repealed. It's going to be taken from them. So their train of thought is, well, I better get all the preventative care that I can and everything I need done now because I'm probably not going to have insurance later.
Mm-hmm. Which groups of Floridians, Daylena, stand to lose most if the act is repealed? Are we looking at children, the elderly specifically?
We're looking mostly at working middle class individuals and families who are getting these subsidies. About 85% of those enrolled in the Affordable Care Act plans in Florida are getting those subsidies at about, you know, $305 per subsidized person. Kids not so much in Florida because we do have a pretty strong Florida Kid Care program, Florida Healthy Families administering Medicaid and that sort of thing. And as far as the elderly goes, those retirees retirees who have not quite reached Medicare age yet, but don't have the option to get plans through their employer because they're no longer working, those folks are going to run into some trouble finding affordable insurance if the ACA is repealed.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. With us in the studio, Abe Abaraya from 90.7's news team. We're also joined by Daylena Miller from WUSF and Anne Packham, Healthcare Navigator. You can join the conversation too. We're at 1-866-338-5252, talking about the future of health insurance under the Affordable Care Act with this incoming administration. Donald Trump, President-elect, taking office on January 20th. What are your concerns? We do want to hear from you. 1-866-338-5252. Anne Packham, tell me about some of the stories you've been hearing from folks who are signing up in over the last 30 days and beyond.
One of the most important stories that I heard was at an enrollment event a couple Saturdays ago. A woman sat down with me, and she's in that category of people who are in their early 60s. They've left their job either because they've retired or because they had to because of an illness or something like that. They live on pension and small amounts of income, and they have chronic diseases, and they need to be able to get health care. And they're quite worried. This woman that sat down with me was crying before we even started the appointment, saying, what am I going to do if they take away Obamacare and I can't get my diabetes medication? So this is a real concern, not just for the working middle class, but for people who are in that age where they don't qualify for Medicare yet, they're not old enough yet, but they don't have another way to get health insurance through an employer.
Even though there is this kind of question mark looming over healthcare under the ACA, what's the pace of signups been like? Are people still flocking to this?
Very much so. Florida leads the nation in people enrolling, and we've been extremely busy. Our navigators were completely booked yesterday on the last day of the deadline, although it has been extended to Monday. And people are not letting this go. They really see it as an important part of their financial security. And they're signing up now with hopes that it will not be taken away.
What's some of the most frequently asked questions people have when they come to you for help and advice?
So people are a little bit confused if they got a letter from the insurance company with a new cost of the plan, which didn't include the increase in the subsidies, because their subsidy depending on their income and their family size. So we go over with them their application and make sure that they're getting the right subsidy. And as Abe had said, once we actually do that, to discover that many people actually are paying less than last year or just about the same. So they're really happy with that. They also want to make sure that the hospital that they would go to if they got sick or they had an accident is in network. So the same things that they've always gone over before, their medications, their doctors, they want to make sure that they're picking the right plan for their family.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can jump in real quick, too, one of the things we've seen in Florida, we've had some insurance carriers come out of the market. And, I was looking this up the other day. It's 47 counties in Florida only have one provider.
Now when you say come out of the market, you say that the insurance company just said, I can't be part of this anymore.
They're not selling individual health, the individual market. Mm-hmm. So they're getting out of that. They might still be offering group plans or small group for smaller employers or, things like that. But they're not selling on the, Affordable Care Act exchanges.
And why are they getting out?
Most of them, it's financial. They're having trouble, making ends meet on this and turning profit. And at the same time, they had these big mergers that were coming up, nationwide, and the mergers fell through. Mm-hmm. And so, for some of them, they said, okay, the mergers didn't come through, and this is, how we're going to deal with it going forward.
Daylena Miller, let me just bring you back into the conversation. The mantra from President-elect Donald Trump, from a lot of Republican lawmakers, Governor Rick Scott included, has been repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. But with all these folks signed up, does this seem to you like it may be too big to repeal?
No, that's the big question, what a lot of the conversation is centering around, and whether or not there will be a comparable replacement plan. In Florida, we've already had nearly 880,000 Floridians sign up for the January 1st deadline. And a lot of people are concerned, but there's been a lot of talk from lawmakers. And I recently talked to Kevin Counihan from the healthcare.gov CEO and Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Burwell. And they've both said that they're pretty sure that those who are, being chosen for the Trump administration are going to, if they repeal the ACA, replace it with something that's going to allow the millions of people in the country who have signed up for health insurance through this, keep at least some of those parts.
Is there a bit of a buffer too? Because one would think it will take some time if repealing it is the way that the administration goes to get something in place so that people aren't left in the lurch if this act goes away.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what about the idea of keeping some more popular parts of the Affordable Care Act? That is actually something we have heard from kind of whispers of from Donald Trump. From the people you've talked to, what are the most popular aspects of the act? Like, what do they tell you they like about it?
The biggest thing has been the pre-existing conditions. I have yet to talk to anybody who's had who disagrees with the fact that people who have pre-existing conditions should be able to get insurance. And that's a concern for millions of people in the country, people who have been diagnosed with cancer or diabetes or other conditions where maybe they wouldn't have been able to get health insurance in the past. Also, the part of the ACA that allows young adults up to the age of 26 to stay on their parents' plans, people who are, you know, who are already in college or who are just coming out into the job market, who are struggling to get insurance otherwise.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News with us, Dalina Miller from WUSF, Abab Arai from 90.7, and Anne Packham, Health Navigator, talking about the ACA and the impact if that act goes away on Floridians, people who are signed up. Going to take a call now from Barbara in Daytona Beach. Barbara, you're on the air. What are your thoughts about the act at this point?
Thank you. As a retired nurse who worked in people's homes, I would like to make lemonade out of this momentary lemon by talking in the long-term goal of what single-payer health care, similar to every other developed country, and especially Canada, which is where Physicians for a National Health Program, PHNP, .org, is working toward.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd like to be part of the discussions that go forward in the future.
Do you think, does that seem likely, though, with the talk we're hearing from the incoming Trump administration, from Republicans, about their thoughts on a single-payer healthcare system?
I don't see it in my lifetime. I'm older, but I do see a younger generation that I think understands it better. And I just want the words and the concepts to begin to be tossed around like all these other things, like premiums and deductibles and previous illnesses. These are all insurance company terms to keep them in business for a profit. I'd like to just see the doctors and patients not have that middleman and know exactly what's available to them and that it is available to them in the long run. So I just want to hear the concepts thrown out there.
Well, thank you for your call, Barbara. I do appreciate it. Anne, let me throw that to you. I mean, does it seem like at this point in time, we're at the end of the Obama administration, Donald Trump takes office in just a couple of weeks, and there's talk of repealing the Affordable Care Act. This idea of single-payer health care, how far into the future would that be?
I mean, I don't see that it's in the conversation for the next coming administration. I mean, it has been thrown out for a couple of decades now. And I know Bernie Sanders, when he was a candidate, talked about expanding Medicare to younger ages. So instead of being eligible at 65, being eligible at 60. And that would take care of a lot of Americans who are, reaching those older years, who are, you know, no longer employed, and you don't have an offer of coverage through their employer. That would help a lot of people. But unfortunately, I don't know whether that's going to be part of the conversations in the next administration.
Mm-hmm. And if I can jump into one of the sort of great ironies of this is that, you know, when you talk about health reform, when you think about political ideologies, you know, on the liberal side, it's the single payer system. And when you talk about how Obamacare came about, you know, it was sort of, you know, came out of Massachusetts. It came out of a Republican, you know, ideology, and it came out of that. And it's kind of this great, it's just sort of this great irony that it's become sort of associated with the left side, but it actually kind of had a really interesting background of, you know, being a, you know, kind of a diverse place.
Mm-hmm. Going to take another call here. We've got Lou calling in from Orlando. Lou, what are your concerns about the ACA at this point in time?
Well, a couple of things. I call to say that as a someone that has, you know, good health insurance, or it used to be great. I used to have a $20 copay, and I paid nothing. Now I pay maybe $70 a month.
That's still pretty good.
Still
pretty good.
So, but I fear that if a lot of these million, 1.5 million, loses their health care and they go to ORMC or Florida Hospital, you know, they got hurt in an accident, they got cancer, now that hospital is not getting any money at all. Mm-hmm. And where are they going to turn to? They're going to raise the rates for those of us that can pay. And so it's not, the people, a lot of, it doesn't affect me because I have insurance. I want to counter to the people that like kind of look down their nose at the people that need something like a subsidized system that, well, if you didn't have the subsidies, those hospitals to stay in business so you have a place to go, first of all, mm-hmm. would have to raise their rates. And that's what they were doing before. So the increase on medical costs have gone down, even though they're still going up. They're not like double digits like they were before because more people have health care. So it helps spread the pain to the greater population instead of the few at the top like me that can pay the money. Not that I want to pay. It comes out of other things I want to do. The other thing is my wife is Swedish, and I do think, and I didn't think this before, I'm 58 years old, I do think in my lifetime we'll see some modified Medicare, Medicaid for all, single payer type system. I think the younger generation, like my children who are in their 20s, they've had it with the healthcare system. They've had it. Mm-hmm. A lot of them voted for Bernie. I think the Bernie mentality is going to grow, not shrink. I think Bernie could have beat Trump, in my estimation, if he wasn't, so that's another issue. But I think Trump's going to be a one-term president, and something's coming after him.
Okay, well, thanks for your call, Lou. Appreciate that. Some thoughts there on the potential for a single-payer system and concerns possibly for the healthcare providers, the hospital companies. Is that something you're hearing, Abe Abaraya?
It is definitely a concern. I mean, this has been, when you look at like the nonprofit hospital, Moody's does, for example, these outlooks for nonprofit hospital systems. Things have done, even if you look at locally, like Orlando Health, you go back a few years, they were having financial issues and they've had a big come around. And a lot of that is due to the fact that there are more people with insurance. Mm-hmm. And, federal programs like, I hate to go into the low-income pool, but that did happen a few years back, and we are looking at seeing big reductions in that money. So now people are saying, well, if we've lost some of these federal subsidies that were pre-existing to help out, and we're starting to, we end up losing more people with this insurance pool, it is going to have a big impact on, particularly hospitals that are safety net hospitals that, are getting a lot of people who maybe are coming in without insurance.
Mm-hmm. Dalena Miller, let me ask you this then. Trump has also talked about wanting to give the states more control over how they manage their residents' health insurance. What are your thoughts on how Florida would manage all those refugees from Obamacare if the act were to go away tomorrow?
Well, that's a really big unknown in Florida right now. The Republican legislature has been reluctant to increase the state spending on health care, in part because it's already such a large part of the state budget. And in Florida, we didn't expand Medicaid. So the lawmakers aren't really addressing any specific plans. They're sort of dodging the questions. And so that's going to remain a big question for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. And Packham, what about the role of yourself and other healthcare navigators if the Affordable Care Act is repealed? Will there still be a role for folks to help people navigate the system?
I mean, I very much hope so. I mean, our funding is based on a federal grant that is reissued every year. So we assume that no matter what changes come about, we will need to have people on the ground that people can turn to, who they can trust to help them navigate, whether it's moving from one system to another or navigating the changes. So we can only speculate that we will be here. And I just wanted to follow up on what the caller had said about healthcare insurance for everybody else. If the Affordable Care Act were repealed and people lost the subsidies, we would have the double-digit increases in health insurance for everybody else who's on private systems the way we did before the Affordable Care Act. So it will affect everybody. People complain to me all the time, well, my health insurance mm-hmm. through my job has gone up, but it's going to go up a lot higher if everybody winds up being uninsured.
Well, Ann Packham is a Marketplace Project Director at Primary Care Access Network. She's a healthcare navigator. Thank you so much for joining us, Ann.
Thank you very much.
Also joined by Abe Abaraya, 90.7's health reporter. Thank you so much, Abe.
Thank you.
And Dalena Miller, covering health for WUSF in Tampa. She's part of the Health News Florida reporting partnership with 90.7 News. Dalena, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Still to come, Orange and Osceola County Public Defender Robert Wesley talks about why he started stocking a closet for his clients 15 years ago, why there's still more work to do to keep kids out of the court system. Intersection's back in a minute.